Hey, good morning and happy 4th of July weekend. Thank you for joining us at MCC and for joining us online this morning. Don't you just appreciate our MCC music teams and all they bring to every single service? Aren't they great? Thank you, guys. Yeah. This weekend, we are going to continue our series about perhaps the most famous judge in Israel, a Bible hero named Samson. Beginning with chapter 13, his life story is found in just four chapters in the book of Judges. Though we are most familiar with Samson, the strongest man who ever lived, the Bible makes it clear that though there is no man stronger physically, there are few men weaker spiritually. We've been walking through some of his life story these past couple of weekends. And this morning, we're going to adventure with him in Judges chapter number 16. Now, you can go ahead and turn to that in your Bible or on your Bible app there on your phone. And maybe you're new to church, don't have a Bible, or don't have the Bible on your phone. You just let me know as you leave today. We'll be sure to get you one. And we're so glad you're here today. Don't worry, we'll have the verses on the screen for you as we go along. As you're turning there, I want to do a little experiment. Now, it might be fun for you and a little risky for me. But we're going to do it anyway. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to guess from where I'm standing right now exactly how many steps it will take for me to walk from here and fall off the end of the stage. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, that depends on how big a step you take. So let's do this. I'm going to walk toe to heel. Just that small step all the way. Just the size of my foot. And for you nerds that are calculating, it's a size 10. Okay, you got your exact guess? Exact guess. The number of steps before the next one makes me fall off the stage. You got that? Now, by show of hands, how many of you would like for me to show you how many steps that would take? You know, that kind of hurts. Because what you're saying is, I don't really care if my pastor falls off the stage. I just want to see. All right, you got your number? Here we go. Oh. Thank you, brother. Somebody cares. You've seen me try to get down the stairs, haven't you? All right, here we go. One, two, three. Well, I can never pass a sobriety test. Four, five. I just had communion, okay? Mine was real wine. What was yours? What is that? Six. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You did need to be there. You did need to be there. Okay, how many of you got it exactly right? What was it, 13? 13, okay. How many of you got it right? Let's see, I have a bumper sticker here for you as you leave. You pick that up at the table on the door as you leave. Now, here's the real question I want to ask you this morning. It's a little deeper question. Of all those steps I took before my demise of falling off the stage, if you could only pick one step that led to me falling off, which step would you choose? Would you choose the first one? That's the one that got me started. Or would you choose the last one? That's the one that was filled with the emotion. I heard some of you go, thank you. You do care. Now listen, I think that's a really good visual for us. Because what happens when we see someone fall, when we see them fall in life, whether they fall to an addiction or something sexual or maybe something financial, or it's with a friendship or even spiritually, when you see someone fall, today, here's what happens. The media loves when someone falls. A celebrity, a politician, a coach, a pastor, some sports figure, and they focus on those last few steps that lead to their downfall. They sensationalize and dramatize the results. An affair, divorce. Embezzlement, imprisonment. Scandal. And Samson is a good example of this. We know Samson is going to fall really, really bad at the end of his life. And if I ask you, just put you on the spot and ask you, who is the woman that caused Samson to fall? What would you say? What's her name? Delilah, of course. We all know Delilah. But we have learned in his life story, Samson fell to several other women before he fell to Delilah. She's just the one at the very, very end, and so she gets all the press on his fall. Here's what we know. Every single fall we have seen, and especially our own falls, and believe me, everyone has fallen, including me, all have sinned and fallen short. Here's what we all know to be true. When we fall, it's always a bunch of little steps that get us there. Ultimately, every one of those steps I took earlier led me to falling off the stage, didn't it? They each contributed to my getting to the end. Now, what we're going to see today as we begin to focus on the end of Samson's life story, we're going to see that the strongest man in Scripture is going to lose all his strength. He's going to be captured by his enemies. He's going to have both eyes gouged out. Now that's just gross. He's going to be shackled up and paraded around like a circus animal as a laughingstock for the whole nation of the Philistines. It just begs the question, how does a man who is so strong he could rip a lion apart with his bare hands end up ripping his whole life apart? And that's what we're going to look at today. So if you're keeping up with your outline or you're taking notes, the big idea this morning is this. Samson did not ruin his life in one moment. It never happens in just a moment. Here's what happens. Samson ruined his life one small step at a time. Let's see how this plays out in Judges chapter 16. Verse 1 begins, one day Samson went to Gaza. The word for went in the Hebrew language is walk. So one day, just a day, one day, this kind of thing you can read and you just keep on going. One day, Samson walked to Gaza. No big deal, right? Well, here's the problem with that. No Israelite who followed God would ever just go to Gaza. There are a lot of Philistine cities across Israel at this time. The Philistines are oppressing Israel right now, remember? But Gaza was the capital city of the enemy, the Philistines. Not to mention, it is a 45-mile walk from Samson's hometown to this coastal city of Gaza. Why would Samson walk 45 miles to a place he knows he's not supposed to be? Well, the rest of the verse gives us a clue. It goes on to say, where he saw a prostitute. Women were Samson's kryptonite. And you can see where this is heading. The rest of the verse concludes, he went in to spend the night with her. Now, you can read that verse to make it sound like all this just happened in a moment. One day, Samson was just walking to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute. It does not say he went there to see a prostitute. He didn't go there to hook up. That's how you can read it. But while he was there, walking along, he saw a prostitute. Perhaps she was standing on the corner under the torchlight. Maybe they struck up a conversation, and before you know it, swept up in a moment, he goes in with her, and they spend the night together. No. It never happens in just a moment. Remember, he walked 45 miles to get there. Now, I did some math research this week. Do you know how many steps it takes to walk 45 miles? Yeah. It's about 90,000 small steps. Now, not heel to toe small, but just regular walking along, regular stride, about 90,000 small steps. 90,000 small steps, all in the wrong direction. Don't you just wonder what's going on in Samson's mind as he takes these 90,000 steps? Well, it's probably the same thing going on in our minds when we start taking small steps in the wrong direction. I'm strong enough. I'm not going to touch. I'm just going to look. I'm going to do some research on Philistine women. I just need to look into it a little. I wouldn't be going there if she was meeting my needs. 90,000 small steps, which means 90,000 opportunities to say, what am I doing? What am I thinking? Turn around. And yet Samson doesn't. And all too often, neither do we. What a big lesson for all of us. We all know you don't mess up in a moment. It's always small steps, one step after another, leading down a long road, each step an opportunity to stop and to turn around, or at least to stop and ask for help, ask for some direction. Maybe you're taking small steps in the wrong direction this morning. Maybe you're taking small steps in the wrong direction with your finances. It's just a little charge. Just this one time, we'll have a year to pay it off with no interest. It's just another small step, and soon you're heading toward a large debt. Or maybe you're taking small steps with your flirting. Just an innocent comment at work. Just a simple touch on the shoulders. An innocent text message. A thoughtful gift of appreciation. Some of you need to stop and look at the small steps that are leading you toward a big mistake. Now, I don't know what direction that may be for each of you. But I believe God has brought some of you here today, and some of you are tuning in online this morning because He wants to get your attention. And He is saying to you, you need to change directions now. Or you need to ask for help now before it's too late. We're going to see in chapter 16, Samson takes four small steps, the same small steps we take that always lead to a really, really big mess. Step number one is this. You underestimate your enemy. You begin to underestimate your enemy and the danger that you're in. Look at verse 2. Remember, Samson has hooked up and he's spending the night with the prostitute. Here's what happens. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. But you wonder how that word got out. You're not going to believe this. Samson has come 45 miles, 90,000 steps, and he's come into our city. Are you kidding me? So, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we will kill him. It's night. He's partying with one of our women. This will probably go on all night. He'll be tired and weak. So let's surround this place, get some sleep, wait till the morning, and then we'll get up early at dawn. And when he tries to leave, which he has to go out through the city gate, when he tries to leave, we will be there rested and refreshed, and we will kill him. Let's see what happens next. Verse 3. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up. Now, if you've been around MCC very long, you know I have a holy imaginator. And I'm putting on my holy imaginator now. But I picture him as getting up about midnight, and he walks out, well, he sneaks out of the door. And under the light of the moon, he sees hundreds of men lying around with swords by their sides, and it hits him. These guys are going to kill me. And this is when Samson comes to his senses, and he cries out to God, oh, thank you for saving me from my enemies. And he runs back home, and he repents, right? No. No, this is what Samson does. He took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now understand, this gate that he picks up is not the gate going into your backyard. These were city gates built to hold off attackers, to withstand the onslaught of men and weapons. Huge gates, thick, solid, reinforced. Commentators say the gates alone would have weighed in excess of 500 pounds each. And he rips them up, posts and all, and carries them uphill outside the city. What's he doing? Showing off. He's taunting his enemies, and we'll soon see he's underestimating his enemies. And I see men who do this all the time. I can handle this. It's harmless. I can quit anytime I want. It doesn't mean a thing. You are underestimating your enemy. And do you understand who your enemy is? Listen to the words of 1 Peter 5:8. Your enemy, who? The devil. That's your enemy. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for that opportunity. And that's why Paul, I think, tells us in 1 Corinthians, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. When you do, it leads to the next step, and you begin to rationalize the same old sin. At this point, Samson has fallen for a Philistine woman in Timnah that ended terribly, tragically. Now he's fallen to a Philistine prostitute. That could have ended tragically. I mean, surely he's learned his lesson. He's not going to fall a third time to another Philistine woman. That would be just dumb, right? The very next verse says this. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek. That's another Philistine woman whose name was Delilah. He falls to the same thing over and over again. And isn't the same true in our lives? Happens to me too. Isn't it frustrating when we fall to the same thing over and over again? Here's what we do. Here's how we handle it. We rationalize it. We are masters at rationalization. Hey, I'm a good guy. This is my one thing, my one bad habit, my one vice, no big deal. And don't you love this one? There are a lot worse things I could be doing. And how about this one? It's in secret. It's just me. It's not hurting anyone else. That just may be the biggest lie you will ever tell yourself. We put this in your notes today because we want this to sink in. Secret sin hurts you. And a hurt you will eventually hurt those around you. If you keep rationalizing your small steps, it will lead you to the third step he took. You will begin to overlook the obvious warning signs. The Philistines understand that Samson has his eye on Delilah. He had underestimated them. They're pretty sharp. They caught on to this. He's just locked in on her. He fell in love with her. And notice it says Samson fell in love with Delilah. It does not say Delilah fell in love with him. That's the Disney version. So the Philistines go to her and bribe her. And no small bribe either. And she takes the bait. She says, I'll do it. So here's her mission. She is to coax Samson into telling her how he can be subdued, how his strength can be taken away. Sound familiar? This should be like deja vu to Samson. He's already been coaxed by another woman, chapter 14, the woman in Timnah, to reveal his riddle. Remember that? And she was sneaky. Delilah? She had to be blonde. She's just as dumb as a door. And obvious. Look how she seduced Samson four times. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. How much more obvious can you get? That's like, say, you and your wife are out on a very romantic date. Dinner. At a nice restaurant, candlelight, maybe even some live music, expensive, all dressed up. And you're thinking, boy, this is going to be a great night. And then right in the middle of dessert, she says something like this. If I was going to tie you up and kill you, how should I do it? Isn't that what she's asking? Samson, darling, how can I tie you up and subdue you? How can I take away your strength? Now, ladies, let me ask you, this is your big chance. Can a man really be that stupid? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're pretty simple as men, and every woman knows it. We only need three things to survive: food, sex, and every once in a while, a pat on the head. Good boy. Great job. Now, if you ask us to only choose one, let me just say there are going to be some men going to starve. Okay? And if we don't guard this and keep it in the bounds of God, which are always the best for us, if we just keep overlooking the obvious and keep taking small steps, we're going to end up in a big mess. Let me ask you a question, and let's be honest. Just be honest with yourself. It doesn't have to be sexual. But is there any area in your life where you are overlooking the obvious? Your parents are telling you, your friends are telling you, your family's telling you, your co-workers are telling you. It's so obvious. And you keep right on going. And when you underestimate your enemy, when you begin to rationalize the same old sin, and you start overlooking the obvious, it leads you to a fourth deadly step. You ignore the costs. You see, the first three times Delilah asks him, he lies. It's all a game to him. He can handle it. But the fourth time, he tells her the truth. I made a vow. I made a vow, maybe we would say, to my wife. I made a vow, Samson said, and I hope we have too. I made a vow to my God. And if I break this vow, if I allow my hair to be cut, I'll lose my strength. Now, I know our time is close, but let me take this one side step. Let me make one side note, please. All four times he told one truth. If his secret is found out and used against him, he would not become weaker than any other man. He will become, it says, as weak as any other man. I'll just be like everybody else. Understand that to be like everybody else is a curse. When Samson and when you and I walk with God in obedience and faithfulness, we are not like other men. And we don't walk in the strength of men. We are like Jesus. And we walk in the power of God. Amen. And then in what I think is the saddest verse in Samson's life story, even as he breaks his vow to God, he doesn't think there's a cost. That night, Delilah ties him up, cuts off his hair, and watch what he says in verse 20. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. I've broken my vow to God. I've kept taking these small steps, but everything's okay. Nothing's changed. No harm done. I got this. Look at the rest of that verse. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. I wonder how many men are listening today, and women too, that are walking in your own strength, doing things your way, and you don't realize God's strength has left you. And that makes you incredibly weak. And this is where the wheels fall off. He's been taking small steps his whole life, and now he walks off the edge. And the next verse, verse 21, says, "Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in prison." Yeah, this is an ancient story about a man who fell 3,000 years ago. But we know 3,000 years later, the same thing happens every single day. Small steps in the wrong direction. This is a moment of truth for each one listening today. God's got your attention. You know where you're at. And you have to answer this question very honestly. Where am I stepping away from God? It may be just a small step, but you're stepping in the wrong direction. Maybe you've stopped reading your Bible. Maybe you've begun building credit card debt. Maybe you're playing with fire with a coworker, and you know it. And God has some of you here, and he has some of you listening online this morning to potentially rescue you. It doesn't matter if you're on step 13 or step 89,654. If you will just acknowledge you're stepping in the wrong direction, what do? You turn around. The Bible calls that repentance. Repent. This is the wrong way. Turn around. Admit that you have underestimated the enemy, that you have rationalized your sin, that you have been overlooking all the obvious signs around you, and you have ignored the costs that are looming right ahead of you if you don't do something now. Some of you may be feeling guilty about now. Maybe God has stepped on some toes today. Please don't say I have. If God has spoken to you, take it up with him. But if you're feeling guilty, I can't wait for you to hear next week's message. We'll look at the rest of Samson's story, where we'll see a man devastated and broken and fallen that God still uses in a powerful way. And that's what he's saying to you and me today. You may be broken. You may have fallen. You may be ready to fall into a steep dive of devastation. But we have a God who can fix any mess. Let me end with a statement in your outline. In the midst of a mess, the first step toward hope is always honesty. Be honest with yourself. I would say be honest with God, but you're not fooling him anyway. Be honest today about the small steps you are taking in the wrong direction. Repent. Take one of those 90,000 steps and just stop and turn around. Repent. Be baptized. Some of you haven't even taken that step back to God. We have a God who can redeem any situation. And he waits with open arms for you to turn around. Father God, this morning, we give you praise as we want to thank you in a very difficult way of helping us to look at ourselves. We surely find ourselves in Samson's story. For some, it's been way too long. We've been taking way too many small steps in the wrong direction. I hope and pray that your Spirit has worked through your word today to touch our hearts and has convicted us to stop and to turn around. And as our song said just before we began the message, step by step, day by day, I will follow you. Father, that's your invitation to come. May it be our response to come and to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand and as we sing this morning, if there's a decision you need to make, we want you to come. As we stand and as we sing, would you come?